Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The men's U.S. hockey team lost to the Czech Republic 3-2 last night, and tonight the women's U.S. hockey team goes up against Canada. That's the top topic in our weekly sports segment with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hi there, Bill.
Hey, Deb.
Also with us today is Tara Sullivan. She's a sports columnist for the Boston Globe, and she's joining us on the line from South Korea. Hi, Tara.
Hello there.
So first off, let's start with you. Tell us what happened to the U.S. men's hockey team last night.
Oh, boy, what a heartbreaker. They fell behind early, fought back, scored a late shorthanded goal, and played through overtime. Olympic hockey set up a little differently. They played one 10-minute overtime, no goals, and then it went to a shootout, where you alternate penalty shots, and in that frame could not get any past the goalie and gave up one goal and so lost 3-2 in the shootout in the penalty round, which means their Olympics is over.
Now, the women's hockey team competes against Canada tonight. And Megan Duggan, the captain of the U.S. Olympic team, told the Today Show about how Team USA's 1998 win over Canada inspired her to play hockey. We have a clip. Let's listen.
I mean, that memory is clear in my eyes. I'm sure these guys remember it as well. But that lit the fire in all of us. And it's from that day forward, we've all been, wanted to win a gold medal for our country.
So Tara, the team hasn't taken home the gold since 1998. Do you think it's going to be their time?
Wow. If they can get past the mental hurdle, I do think so. Because from watching the two teams here, I think the U.S. is maybe slightly better, a little bit more skilled, a little bit more fluid, but they just can't seem to get past the Olympic hurdle when it comes to beating the Canadians. They've beaten them in the World Championships the last 3 years, but they just, that's four Olympics and counting now for the Canadians winning. And the last Olympics 4 years ago is the one that really sticks out for the U.S. because they were leading 3-1 late in the game and ended up losing in overtime. So a big theme of redemption, of opportunity, all of that in the mix for the U.S. women.
Bill, you've been following this team before for years. Right?
I have. Yeah. I have indeed.
So, and many of these players, because they have strong Massachusetts connections, what do you think? How's the team looking?
Megan Duggan, from whom we just heard, is one of those people. She's played for both the Boston Pride and the other Boston team, that the Blades, that played professional hockey here. And, as of course, was at the Only Game 20th anniversary celebration as well, and shone brilliantly. The difference, I think, between the men's and the women's is that with the women's, you're seeing the best female hockey players in the world. And with the men's, because the NHL decided not to send their players, you're not. And the U.S., of course, suffered probably more than most nations because of that. But I am really looking forward to tonight's game. I'm going to stay up late enough to watch it, or at least try.
And the team looks good, you think?
They look very good. And I think the comment that they're more fluid than Canada is important, because lots of the players have spoken about the fact that they are a little bit more versatile, a little bit more mobile, a little bit more creative than these teams have been in the Olympics before. They've been sufficiently creative to win world championships one right after another after another, but I'm hoping that that's going to be apparent in the Olympics as well, in the gold medal game.
Tara, let's just talk briefly about the women's figure skating short program that started last night. None of the U.S. women are expected to medal, but how did they do yesterday?
Oh, not well. Probably the worst showing in Winter Olympic history for the U.S. women's figure skating team. Very disappointing. Each of the three women either fell or touched the ice and lost points on a jump. And the jumps are just so important in the figure skating world. So it really, really no shot at getting at the podium for the third straight year, which is the first time that's going to happen to the U.S. women since the inception of the Winter Olympics. A lot of soul searching, I would imagine, for the national program after this Olympics.
All right. Tara Sullivan, sports columnist for the Boston Globe. She's in South Korea. And to read her Olympic coverage, you can go to radioboston.org. Tara, thanks so much, and enjoy the game tonight.
Thank you.
Bill, let's turn now to a local story that's been sort of under the radar. Barbara Stevens, coach of Bentley women's basketball team, won her 1,000th game, right?
And she would be the last person to say that she has won 1,000 games. She would be the first person to say that she has had the great good fortune to coach many, many, many exceptionally good players, and they have won many games over the years. But she has been in charge of that program for a long time, and she's a terrific coach.
Yeah, well, let's just listen. We have a little piece of tape of her that she spoke with Channel 7 after her win. Let's listen.
Well, I know I breathed an incredible sigh of relief. I was like, okay, now we can go back to where the focus should be, which is on our wonderful team.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's about modest,
it's about
right?
Modest,
yeah.
Yes.
So what about coaching style?
The first thing that drew me to Barbara Stevens years ago, where I noticed, my goodness, here's this Division II basketball team that's got an average winning percentage of about 890 over the years. I went up and watched them practice, and she didn't use a whistle. She spoke to her players in about the same tone of voice that I'm using right now to speak to you, and they listened. There was no shouting. There was no, you know, pep talking was simply, you know what you're trying to do, you know why you're here, and they all graduate and they all go on to wonderful careers. And I had a conversation years ago with one of their star players, and I said, would you consider yourself a basketball player who happens to be going to college or a college student who happens to be playing basketball? And she looked at me and smiled and said, is that a trick question? And I just don't know how many D1 players would be that quick to realize that a reporter was trying to catch them at something.
And very briefly, Red Sox spring training underway. Big news from the team this week. They signed J.D. Martinez, a 5-year contract, $110 million. What do you think this means?
Well, we're going to find out as the seasons go on, and I say seasons plural, about whether it's $110 million well spent. He had over 100 RBIs last year playing for two teams, and he did that once before. More than 100 RBIs. However, David Ortiz had 10 years with more than 100 RBIs, and we shall see whether J.D. Martinez, in fact, fills the gap left a couple of years ago by the departure of David Ortiz.
No big poppy. All right. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs on WBUR Saturdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Bill, thanks so much.
Thank you, Deb.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.